Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our HRMC training call this Monday morning, March 25th, 2019. This is Mark Riches, and I've got standing by Mr. Mike Riches, who's going to be our featured trainer this morning. And I hope you've got a pen and paper and ready to take some notes. We've got a power pack call lined up for you. It is convention week. Legal Shield's International Convention will kick off kind of Thursday evening with the Executive Director Gala. But I'll actually be flying in Wednesday. We have a Platinum World Council meeting on Wednesday there in Dallas, and several other events going on starting on Wednesday, which I'll mention a couple of those. But it's going to be a big week in Dallas. We've got thousands and thousands of associates coming in to see all of the top trainers and producers and the recognition. This is the big recognition event of the year. For all the top performers in Legal Shield. And then our featured trainer is going to be Mr. Damon John, CEO of FUBU and personality character from Shark Tank. I really enjoy watching Damon John on Shark Tank, and I'm excited to meet him in person, and I know you are too. And we've got a lot of our team coming into Dallas. We've sold out the event. There's no way to pre-register now, unless you can find someone online selling some tickets still. But I don't even think you can switch them to your name. You'll just have to go as them. But we're excited about the event. Just a couple things I want to re-emphasize. There's going to be a special B2B certification training on Wednesday. So if you're coming in a little early, come in on Wednesday, and it starts at 10 a.m. It's an 8-hour event, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's going to feature many of the top B2B producers in Legal Shield, as well as our own Mr. Mike Riches, my brother. So I'm super excited about that. Hopefully you'll be able to attend that on Wednesday, and you can still register for that, I believe, Mike, online. Just click on our events calendar, and there's a registration link there, and you can still sign in. There's still room in that event. Also, at the convention, they're going to be making some huge announcements. One of the big ones is we're going to go from a counter-based comp plan to a premium-based comp plan. We've been kind of talking a little bit about that, but I just wanted to, announce that starting in April, we're going to be premium-based. Well, what does that mean? Come to the convention. Come to Dallas, because I don't want to try and synopsis, an hour of training from the convention or more, all the charts and graphs and the information into a one-minute segment. But basically, if you right now we do counters. So if you're working on senior director, for example, this month, you're wanting to get 25 counters in your team, and you can't count more than 15 in any one line. Well, starting in April, that will no longer exist. It'll be all premium-based, so you'll be looking for a premium number to hit senior director, and you can't count more than so much premium in one line. Same with executive director. Same with any of the levels. Right now, it's counter-based, meaning you sell a plan and you get a counter for that. We're switching to a premium base. This is a really positive move on the company's behalf. We talked about it a couple years ago, and it literally took them a while to get the IT group to get everything in place, but it's done, and we are now going to be premium based, which what it really means is if I go out and sell a $24 plan, that's a Legal Shield or an ID Shield, family plan. That's $24 in revenue. But if my brother goes and sells a $49.90 plan, which is our combo plan, right now those are equally rated. I mean, I get one counter and he gets one counter. And that's not really fair because I sold half what he sold. I sold a $24.95, he sold a $49.90. He ought to get it really ought to be worth 2 points, if not just one. So that's what premium based comp plans do, is it's based on just the premium that we're selling. And we'll have, again, all the details rolled out in Dallas this week, and we've told you over and over to be there, but that's one of the big announcements. They're also going to be rolling out a big bonus incentive program, and all I can tell you, I can't give you any of the details. I know all the details, but I'll tell you, you need to be at senior director, at the very minimum, be at senior director, And if you want to really double down on the bonuses, be it executive director. But if you show up there not at senior, not executive director, those bonuses aren't going to apply to you. So I'm telling you right now, you've got a week to go get to senior director and executive director. Make sure that happens. And a big announcement we made through the week, I think we sent out a text reminder on it as well, but guests can attend the Dallas event for free now. So if you're not yet a Legal Shield associate, you can actually come to Dallas at no cost and attend the entire event. And there's a special guest line that you would get in and get your tag, your name tag, name badge. And think of that right now as you, who do you know in Dallas that you could invite over to the event to see Damon John and you know, participate in this incredible event. So again, guests can attend for free. There's a special guest line that they need to get in to get their name badge. And I know people have really been working the phones to invite people that they know in the Dallas market and get them there. Also, we're going to have our big team breakout on Saturday, this Saturday, March 30th. When we meet next week, we won't be talking about Dallas anymore. We'll be kind of doing a recap of the event, but we'll be talking about Salt Lake City. So this is it. This is convention week. But our team breakout is going to be on Saturday, March 30th, 7:30. It's estimated the convention is going to end at 7. It might run a little late, but don't leave the convention because, you know, there will be just a few of you that leave. We're not leaving the convention. I'm on the front row. We're not leaving the convention until it's over. So whenever that event ends Saturday night, then meet over at the convention center right there where we are. It's going to be room A130. At 7:30 approximately is what we're estimating, and about an hour team breakout, so you can still attend the platinum party that night or do whatever you want to do. It won't be super late, but we've got some really exciting things that we'll be rolling out there, some new marketing material, an updated identity theft workshop that Mike Riches has been working really hard on, some really, really exciting announcements we'll be making there. So we really would like to have you plug into our team breakout Saturday evening at 7:30, right as soon as the convention's over. And then, of course, I already mentioned, but next Monday, this call next Monday will be a convention, special convention recap call, where we'll just hear and talk about some of the highlights of the event and hear from some of those that attended the event. So, again, a very, very important call to be on next Monday. Especially if you're not going to be in Dallas. But even if you're in Dallas, it'll be a good reminder of all the exciting things that transpired. And it's going to be just a great event. My favorite part is just mingling with our team, hanging out, and growing together. I mean, use these events to grow your business. I know Mike's going to talk about that this morning. One other thing I want to mention, or a couple other things. I was on Legal Shield's website last week, and I noticed they've got some really nice identity theft marketing materials. This is the best marketing materials I've ever seen in my almost 25 years with Legal Shield. So you go to Legal Shield Engage, go to your Resources tab, so Legal Shield LS Engage, Resources, and then ID Shield Group is what it's under. So LS Engage, Resources, and then ID Shield Group. We're not putting those documents on the Harvard site anymore. We're just using the LS Engage site because here's why legally they could make a little change on one of their documents and now it's corrected. But if we are hosting that document on our site, now our document's not corrected. So they want us just to use their Docs on Demand section, which is great. That's a great time saver on our part. But you just go check those out. They've got some really nice materials that you can give to your decision makers and use in your group presentations. We've also updated our HRMC Plans website. You might have noticed that, but we've kind of done a nice facelift on those sites. So you can check out hrmcplans.com, and we've got a new look there now, and those are all functional. We've also updated the custom websites, seeyourbenefits.com, and as a Harvard Advantage member, you can get up to three custom websites provided to you, and I hope you're taking advantage of those. We have literally, you know, tons of hits on those sites. It's a great site to leave at a flyer or a poster at your groups as you leave them after your enrollment. It's a great site to include on your marketing materials so that they can go home and show a simple presentation to a spouse. And so, again, the details of that is under your Advantage tab. It's seeyourbenefits.com/, and then you customize that to your specific groups. You can have as many custom sites as you want. We have associates that have 20 or 30 sites. But you get the first three free, and then I think they're $25 for each site after that. But what a great deal, that, and it's a one-time $25, and you got that site for life. So take advantage of that. And, again, they've worked really hard to make those sites look very professional. And on the plan site, they should link now right to your LegalShield checkout cart. And so if you need any assistance in getting that set up correctly, please contact our support group and we'll help you do that. Okay, last announcement before our training. It's the end of the month. We've got less than 1 week left. It's March 25th. The month will end next Sunday at midnight, so the 31st of March. So just be aware of that. I know it's tough being in Dallas, but right now, the next few days, we got to work hard. We got to get everything in. Check your performance club points. We want, of course, every associate to be performance club qualified as a minimum bar in our organization. I hope you're committed to that. And then second, be sure that you're, I just told you, they're going to roll out some huge incentive money, more bonus money than I've ever seen in any program. It's going to be announced in Dallas, and it's going to apply for people that are senior director and executive director. So right now you got to go get 25 memberships this week so you can qualify for senior director, and executive director would even be better. We've got a lot of folks heading toward executive director working extremely hard. The market is ripe. It's a great time to be out there marketing employee benefits. I'm super excited about where we are right now as a company, and I'm super excited about our featured trainer this morning. We've got Millionaire Club member and $200,000 income earner, Mr. Mike Rich, is joining us from Dallas. Mike, I know you're excited to – I was hoping you'd host us all over at your home, being that you live right there in Dallas, but it'll be fun to meet there at the convention center and hang out together, and excited. I know you're excited about the event as well and all the things that are happening this week. Thank you for being on the call, and thanks for providing our training this morning. Mike's going to be talking to us about little things that make a big difference, so be sure you have a pen and paper ready to take some notes from an individual that's earned millions of dollars in this business, written thousands and thousands of LegalShield and IDShield membership. He's not Performance Club qualified every month. He's Executive Director qualified every single month except one, so we just always have to add that to his portfolio there, but Mike, thank you for being on the call this morning, and congratulations on your success, your team's success. We're excited to see you in Dallas this week with all the exciting announcements, and I'll turn the call over to you.
Well, thank you for that lovely and very honest and transparent introduction. I appreciate that. And by the way, I everyone is more than welcome to come out to my house. I live about an hour away with traffic from the event, but you are more than welcome to come on out and I'll be happy to host you.
Sounds great. Hey, I just wanted to mention one other thing, Mike. Jennifer and I were looking at the LegalShield newsletter last night, and that just comes out on Sunday evening, and we noticed you also are getting one of the top 10 retention awards in the entire company. So, not only a top producer or top team builder, but also – has created ring earners and executive directors in his organization, but also is one of the top 10 in personal retention in the entire organization. Was it personal or organizational retention?
That's a good question. I think it's personal.
Yeah, I think it's personal retention. So competing up there with Renee McKnight and some of our top retention experts, but great job on that. Congratulations, and I know you'll be recognized on stage there in Dallas for that.
I appreciate that. I thought you might focus on the, I have about 90% retention. I thought you might focus on the 10% that I didn't.
Yeah, the 10% that you missed.
The reality is, what I was going to say is this week is going to be so jam-packed, it's going to be tough to find time to get together even right there downtown. And I'm really glad, though, that we're doing our team breakout on Saturday evening. We did that last year, and I thought that worked really, really well. I know that it's a... it's a tough time because it's right at the end of the event, it's right at the end of the day. But last year, when we did it on Saturday evening, the energy in the room was really good, and I was nervous that it might be, you know, everyone would be tired, but I think everyone was just so electrified at all the things that they announced, and I have no doubt that this year will be the exact same thing. So I'm really looking forward to that. And Mark, thank you again for all you do. We're excited to see you guys this week and really see everyone coming in. I'm so proud of all of our folks who have made the decision. Some made that decision months ago. Some made that decision at the last event. Where were we in the fall? I'm totally blanking out. Wherever the fall event was. Nashville. Right there in Nashville, and where we were about an hour away from Mark's house, and he didn't invite anybody over to his house. But anyway, some made the decision then. Some made the decision several, you know, weeks ago. Some made the decision last week that they're going to be in Dallas. And there might be people on the call this morning, Mark, that are deciding right now that they're going to go. And you know, I know that might seem like short notice, but I'll tell you what, it was a year or two ago. I don't remember if it was at last year's event or maybe the year before, but I was sitting right there at this March event, and the gentleman that was sitting behind me leaned forward and he tapped my shoulder. He said, "Hey, I recognize you from the videos. You're Mike Riches." And he said, "I want you to know, I was on the call on Monday morning, this week, Monday morning, and you said that if you've made up your mind that you're not going to attend this event, the best thing that you can do is change your mind and get to this event, and I'm here. I'm from Minneapolis." This event was in Oklahoma. He said, "I'm from Minneapolis. I drove down. I decided to drive down. Drove all night so that I could get here, but I'm here because of what you said." And I did not take that lightly. I was impressed, but I was not impressed so much at his sacrifice in coming. I was impressed that he was serious enough about his business that he decided to get there. And because of that event, that gentleman went on to do some incredible things in our business. And so I say that to you this morning as well. I never want to miss an opportunity to invite and promote an event, especially one of this magnitude. And so if there are some of you that have decided not to attend, best thing you can do, change your mind and attend. Get there this weekend. And this is the week that it all comes to fruition. This is the week that those decisions that we've made to be here, all the preparation that we've done, all comes to a climax, and we're here in Dallas enjoying this event. I'm so excited for the training that we've got on Wednesday. I know that many of you are registered and are coming to that, and Mark hit it right on the head. We still have a few seats available. You can find that on the events page, or you can go to northtexastraining.com, northtexastraining.com for that info. I love what Mark said as well, and I know I'm just reiterating this, but I love what Mark said about the guests can come for free. And so take out your phone, take out your go through your contacts, and look at who you have in Dallas. I mean, what better opportunity to expose them to what Legal Shield is really all about than to bring them to this event and let them listen to Damon John? You know, let them listen to Brian Carruthers, or let them listen to Don Thompson, or any of the speakers that are going to be training at this event. I love that thinking. You know, hey, let them see it firsthand. Why recruit somebody and then make them wait for Salt Lake City when you've got someone who's relatively close that you could get there as a guest? And I love that. I love that thinking, and want to encourage you to take advantage of that. I want to share with you just a few notes on the convention itself. So I'm talking to all of us that are going to be there this week. You've made the commitment. You've got your travel plans ready. You know, you're coming to Dallas. I want to give you some advice to make it the best possible event that you can have. I want you to maximize your time at this event. And then I do have a training segment that I want to share with everyone here. Hopefully we have time before the end of the call. So let me go through some notes here. I kind of broke this up into two different sections as far as the event goes and preparing for the event. The first is, you know, what can we do today, tomorrow, as we're preparing to be in Dallas? And then the second section is kind of once we're there, what can we do to maximize our experience? And let me just share some bullet points with you. First of all, you know, make sure that you've got everything lined up as far as your tickets go. I did call and verify this morning. They said that everyone needs to go to the registration area. You definitely need to go for, if you're receiving any recognition, there'll be recognition tables that you can go pick up your recognition packet. But just stop by the registration booth. That's where you're going to pick up your lanyard. The color of your lanyard will determine, you know, where you go for seating. So there's two different, there's floor seating and then there's arena seating. And so you need to pick up your lanyard. You can also download, in addition to stopping by, they said everybody needs to stop by so that you can get your lanyard, but you can also download the app. And if you're registered, excuse me, you should have received an email with the link to download that app. I downloaded it. It's not that it's mandatory. It's not like you have to have the app, but it is designed to enhance your experience once you're there. And it's pretty cool. They've got a lot of great stuff on the app. They've got obviously the agenda. There's a social aspect of it as well where you can connect with other people and share your contact information, so it makes it easy to be able to network. I'm maybe a little bit old-fashioned on that. I believe in something called the business card, but you know, there, again, it's there, it's free, it's something that is a resource if you want to use it, and I was looking through it. It looks like there's a lot of great stuff that they have on there. But make sure that you're stopping by that booth to get your lanyard. If you have any questions, you can contact Legal Shield Associate Services, and I think you already have their phone number. I'll give it to you here in just a second, just in case. But if you have any questions on your registration, you can call 580-436-7424. That's the number to Legal Shield Associate Services. Once again, 580-436-7424. But, you know, just make sure that all of that's, you know, that you're ready as far as your ticket goes. My second tip is, you know, again, obviously we want you in the event. We want you, you know, we want to have all your registration taken care of. But my second tip is maybe even more important as far as enhancing your experience. And that is, I hope that you're serious about learning at an event like this. Now, depending on what you focus on, I know, you know, this Monday morning call, we really focus on employee benefits, taking the Legal Shield and the ID Shield product in to companies and offering them as an employee benefit. Depending on what our focus is, I like the word major, what our major and our minor is in this business, not everything that's shared from stage is going to apply 100% to your business. That's just fact. This is an international convention. This is the entire company Legal Shield, with all of the many areas, the many products, the many emphases in their portfolio, but this is the entire company. So not everything is going to apply, but your job and my job is to make sure that we're picking up on everything that we can that does apply to our business. And I've found this. There are often times where you might have a speaker that's focusing on a topic. And say, for example, you know, CDL, they might be focusing on commercial drivers. Well, that might not be a major for me. That might not be something that I'm really focused on. But that doesn't mean that speaker is not going to say something that could impact my business in a positive way. So I want to be focused 100%. I want to be keyed in, locked in, and I want to be picking up anything, any potential nugget that can make a difference in my business. Now, to me, one of the best ways of doing that is to have a journal. If you're serious about becoming, you know, wealthy, powerful, sophisticated, healthy, influential, cultured, unique, you've got to keep a journal. Don't trust your memory. When you listen to something valuable, write it down. When you come across something important, write it down. I want to share one of my favorite quotes from Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn said, "I used to take notes on pieces of papers and torn off corners and backs of old envelopes. I wrote ideas on restaurant placemats, on long sheets, narrow sheets, little sheets, and pieces of paper thrown in a drawer. Then I found out that the best way to organize those ideas is to keep a journal. I've been keeping these journals since the age of 25. The discipline makes up a valuable part of my learning, and the journals are a valuable part of my library. I like the word discipline there as far as keeping a journal. He continues, quote, I'm a buyer of blank books. Kids find it interesting that I would buy a blank book. They say $26 for a blank book? Why would you pay that? The reason that I pay $26 is to challenge myself to find something worth $26 to put in there. He said, all my journals are private, but if you ever got a hold of one of them, you would not have to look very far to discover that it is worth far more than $26. I love that quote by Jim Rohn. What kind of journal are you going to bring? Now, you can organize your notes the way that you like to do so. I'm always one that I love the line down the middle of the page, where on the left I'm taking notes that relate to, you know, things that were said, maybe comments that I liked, or you know, just general notes. But on the right, I always like to have a place in my notes for to-do items. So sometimes I'll hear something and it'll spawn a thought that, you know what, I need to call this client, or I need to work on this with my team, or, you know, whatever. So I like the line down the middle of the page. On the left, I'm taking general notes. On the right, these are action items that I want to focus on when I get back. You take your notes however works best for you. I'm not saying you have to do it the way that I do it, but take notes and bring a journal and be ready. Don't show up and hope to, you know, to remember the things that you hear. Serious students will come away with much more information and much more value than those that just show up and listen casually. Here's another nugget as far as preparing, and that is to come with a purpose. I hope that you've thought about your business. I hope that you've got some specific purposes and goals that you want to learn about, that you want to hear about, that you want to refine, that you want to that you really want to develop at this event. If you can think about specific areas in your business that you're looking to improve, specific questions that you have, you know, you're investing to come. Even if you live here in Dallas, you're investing time. And some of you are hoping that that's a smart investment. Some of you have borrowed some money to get there. Your spouse may not be fully on board with you coming, and you're sitting here saying, I hope that this is a good investment. I hope that this works out. Well, the great news is, unlike many investments that you have really very little control over, I mean, you could go invest in the stock market today, but you'd have very little control over that investment. The return that you make on this investment is really, in large part, up to you. If you show up and are, again, kind of a casual listener, you'll still benefit, but you won't get near the return that you would get if you attend with a purpose. So, again, specifically, what are you wanting to increase in your business or improve in your business? If you and I come with a specific purpose, all of a sudden, now we're listening with intention. And there's a big difference between listening and listening with intention. All of a sudden, someone might be talking about a topic that's not really related to the specific area that you want to improve, but they say something that all of a sudden clicks and it opens up some inspiration, or even, you know, you find that it relates directly to something that you do want to work on specifically. So come with a purpose, and then you know, I'll tell you, I think another big thing that you can do to prepare. So I'm talking today, tomorrow. I think one of the best things that you and I can do is set up a bunch of appointments. I always, you know, there's 2 weeks of the year, you could maybe make the argument for 3 weeks, that I think are prime prospecting weeks. One is the week of Thanksgiving. The Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Thanksgiving, I've always maintained is one of the best prospecting weeks of the year. For a lot of different reasons, but decision makers are there, their phone's not ringing off the hook. It's just a really good prospecting week. The other week or two would be the week of these big events. And the reason I say two is because you could probably include the fall one as well. But specifically this week, is, in my mind, one of the most important prospecting weeks. Now, again, you might be traveling tomorrow or Wednesday, so you might not have the entire week. Obviously, we're going to be in the event for part of that time as well. But I would be on the phone, going by places in person. I would ask you, or I would encourage you to ask yourself, what is the maximum amount of prospecting that I could do today? What's the maximum amount of prospecting that I could do tomorrow? Some people will say, well, I've got to travel. You know, so I'll be out a day because I have to travel to the event. Other people will say, my flight does not leave until 12 p.m. I can prospect for 2 hours in the morning before I even have to leave to the airport. That's the kind of individual that's going to really come out ahead. The reason that prospecting is so important is you don't want to get back next week and have nothing on your plate, have nothing on your calendar. Now, again, I'm not saying that you couldn't get back and set up appointments. You'll be excited, but I'm telling you, the people that will maximize their experience, those are the ones that are going to prospect like crazy today, tomorrow. They're going to take every ounce of time that they can find this week to set up appointments for next week. And what you really want is you want to get back next Monday morning, listen to our recap call, and then have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 appointments already set up for next week, because the energy that you bring back, the education that you bring back, the momentum that you bring back from the event will help you close those deals. I've seen it time and time and time again. That's why I say, every week is an important prospecting week. Prospecting is a huge part of our business. But there are 2 or 3 weeks in the year that are, in my opinion, the most important, and this is one of them. So please don't write off this week as a training week or, you know, something that you're just here to learn. I would take every ounce of time. If you've got 5 minutes, that's 2 or 3 phone calls that you could make, prospecting phone calls. I want you to think in those terms so that you can really maximize. Again, if you can get back next week and have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 appointments already on your calendar for next week, boom. Man, that's where you'll see some amazing things happen, not just in second quarter, but in April. You're setting up a massive April if you take that advice seriously. And so, again, think about, you know, specific areas of your business. Another thing that you could think about is, you know, think about what are you willing to sacrifice over the next 90 days? This event is positioned really uniquely. I don't remember another time where this really happened, but it's positioned uniquely because we come out of this event right into the beginning of a new quarter. We start April on Monday, April 1st, a week from today, and it's the beginning of the second quarter. And I'm telling you, what a great position. So I like thinking in 90-day increments anyway. This just makes that a little bit more convenient. What are you willing to sacrifice, and what are you willing to accomplish in the next 90 days? If you and I can go in with that kind of mindset, it makes that event so much more meaningful. Let me give you a few tips once you're at the event, and again, just to maximize your experience there. Number one, be early. You know, the event's going to start at 9 o'clock sharp both Friday and Saturday. The doors open at 8. There's a reason for that. It's not just so that we don't have 10,000 people trying to come in the last 10 minutes, although that's part of it. But it also is an opportunity for you and I to be there and to be able to network, to be able to create friendships and relationships. I can tell you, person after person, associate after associate, that met someone at an event 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago, and they still keep in contact with that person to this day. Many of you on the phone could attest to that. Well, those conversations really ought to happen outside of the event hours, right? I mean, you don't want to be in the hall, forming a relationship while you've got a guest speaker that's training, that's sharing nuggets that could change your business. So be there early. That's your time to network. That's your time to visit with others. Again, those doors open an hour early. It'll also get you, you know, positioned to get a good seat. Kind of along those same lines, introduce yourself, be social. When I say it's a good time to network, you know, again, when I'm at an event like that, I want to make sure that the people that I meet know that I'm their guy. If they have a group in Dallas, if they have you know, something that comes up in my area that I could help them with that could be mutually profitable, I want to make sure that they know I'm their guy. So, you know, I'm big on having business cards. Again, maybe a little old-fashioned that way, but I think that there is something to having a business card and being professional and sharing that with others. Again, I alluded to this a minute ago, but remember that you're at a training. The way that the agenda works on this, and you can find all this online and through the app as well, but the agenda goes from 9 to 12, and then there's a two-hour break for lunch. This is both Friday and Saturday, and then 2 to 7. Well, 2 to 7, that's 5 hours that you're in there, okay? So I know that that's a chunk of time. Most people are probably going to have to step out and take a bathroom break, and that's fine. Here's my advice, though. You want to take advantage of every opportunity. You might be tempted when you step out to the restroom to stay in the hallway, and, you know, especially if you have someone talking to you, there's going to be people out in the hall that are going to be happy to strike up a conversation with you. And I'm just, you know, I guess maybe I'm giving you a voice of warning here. Be careful. Those are success suckers. They suck away success. And, you know, if they're outside in the hall wanting to strike up a conversation while the event's going on, that's not a relationship that I want to form. Because that's the same person that's going to be calling you while you're supposed to be prospecting. And, you know, at least I don't want that person on my radar at all. So if I need to step out and use the restroom, fine. But I want to get back in as quickly as I possibly can. Again, I want to take advantage of every opportunity to learn while I'm there. I assure you that person that's trying to talk to you in the hallway has not had the success that the speaker who's on stage training has had. I want to get in and I want to listen to these successful people. Now, I might, you know, let me just give a little bit of a caveat on that. If it's Mark Rich is out in the hallway trying to talk to you, he's probably had more success than the person on the stage, but still, he would appreciate if you got back in and got back in your seat. I already mentioned taking notes at the event. You know, again, they'll make videos available after the event, but you know, nothing will compare to the notes that apply to you. Sometimes, here's a note that I take. I need to watch this speaker again. They're covering so much good stuff, I'm not able to even write it all down. So I put a big star. I want to watch this speaker again. Be professional. You know, there's not necessarily, at least I haven't seen, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I haven't seen a dress code for this event. But I can tell you, as a member of this organization, I think that dressing professionally is the way to go. Now, you could do business casual. Someone asked about that last week. I think maybe it was Dan Bird out in Utah asked him about the dress. And I told him, you're going to have everything from suit and tie down to, I'm sure there'll be somebody there in shorts and a T-shirt. Okay, so you're going to see the full spectrum with the attendees there. But most people are going to be professionally dressed. You know, do you need a jacket? I don't know that you need a jacket, but you could, you know, business casual is fine. But again, my dress reflects my goals. And what are my goals in this business? Is it, you know, is it really to take this business casually? No. I want to treat this business like a business. That's why I'm going to be dressed professionally. Now, I'm not going to wear a tie. I don't need to discuss my whole wardrobe with you, but I want to be professionally dressed. And I just, to me, it's about attitude. It's about, you know, the way that I come off to people. And if I'm networking, and I tell somebody, hey, I'm in Dallas, and if you ever have a group here that you need help on, I'd be happy to help you. I want that person to look at me and not hesitate to make that call if they have something that they want to share business with in my area. So again, dress has something to do with that, but obviously it's not the only thing, but it has something to do with my professionalism and the way that I come across to others. So be professional. That also has to do with our language, with our posture, with so much of what we do. But here's another tip for you. Be excited. You know, have a positive attitude. I know this kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, those who show up at an event and think about, you know, how they would rather be somewhere else, they're never going to have the experience that someone's going to have who's excited to be there, who has a positive attitude, that's looking for the nuggets. You know, I know people that they're going to be watching speakers on stage, and they're going to spend most of their time, unfortunately, thinking, you know, I ought to be on stage. And I would say that better than them. I would train on this. Ooh, I'll tell you what, if I was on stage, you know, that's fine. But we're all students first. I don't care what we've accomplished. We're all students first. The minute that we stop learning is the minute that we stop growing. And so I would hope that we are there with a humble and positive attitude. What can I learn? What could benefit me? If we're in that mode of receptivity, we're gonna learn and again just grow so much more from this event than otherwise. And that kind of leads to my next tip here: be an active listener. You know, lean forward, get plenty of sleep the night before. There'll be people that will stay out late, you know, and they're gonna be down in a bunch of coffee just to even keep their eyelids open for the main event. You know, I would encourage you to really make the event about the event. And, you know, that means get plenty of sleep. That means, you know, again, just being there, being present, you know, really being actively involved. And then my final tip, make big decisions. Be prepared to make big decisions. We say that often, that big decisions are made at big events. Well, this is the biggest of big. This is the biggest event that Legal Shield has. This is the biggest event that we have. And so, therefore, it should be the event at which we make the biggest decisions. What big decisions need to be made, do you need to make at this event? Big decisions about your future, big decisions about your commitment, big decisions about your goals. What big decisions about your activity need to be made? Be prepared to make those decisions. And I assure you, I give you my word that you will be better for it. After the event, when you get back, you're going to want to take time to review those notes, to watch those speakers again, especially when you need a little bit of extra motivation. But the biggest thing that you and I can do a week from today is to put into action what we learn. And again, I don't know of any better way to do that than to set yourself up with a bunch of appointments when you get back, trusting that you're going to be ready to take full advantage and make the most out of those appointments. But I'm so excited for this event. It's going to be so incredible. Again, I think the announcements are going to be huge. I could not agree more with what my brother said and what we've been saying. We've been echoing this now for over a month. How positive of a change it is to go to a revenue-based model. I know that change is not always easy. As human beings, we tend to move away from change. We tend to not embrace change. And we say over and over and over again, change can be really good. It can be a really positive thing. This company has changed. Legal Shield has changed more in the last 3 years than any time in its history, and so it's kind of, you know, hey, you better be used to change. You know, you better start embracing change is kind of the attitude, and I don't think that that's a bad thing at all. I can honestly look at all the changes that have been made in the 17 years that I've been here, and really for the most part, there's probably a couple things that I could look back and say, yeah, they probably would have been better not to make that decision. But the reality is the vast, vast, vast majority of them have all been good changes. And so even though it's not always comfortable, and, you know, I don't necessarily like change naturally. It's something I kind of have to force myself to embrace. But you know, looking back, I'm glad that they added the identity theft product in 2003. Like, I'm glad. I thought that was a really great move. At the time, I was a little bit nervous about it, but I look back, I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad that they rebranded in 2011. You know, at the time, it was exciting, but it was also a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, but I look back, man, what a great move that was. I could name 100 different things that have changed over time. I'm glad they changed the ring levels. I'm glad, you know, there's so much. I'm glad they went. I remember in 2010-ish when they changed the counter model. And again, at the time, I thought, ooh, how's that going to go over? Well, it worked. It was fine. It was okay. And ended up being a positive thing. I'm sure that there will be people that are going to be a little bit nervous about a revenue-based system. And guess what? It's going to be a positive change. Change can be really good. But it's really best for those who embrace it early. That's who benefits, rather, the most from that. And I remember, you know, speaking of that identity theft, I remember, you know, when they first rolled that out, I know we've shared this story several times, but when they first rolled out the identity theft product, I was kind of big on, because, again, I was slow to embrace change. And so I would kind of do presentations and say, here's the legal plan, da-da-da-da-da, here's what it covers, here's the price, and, oh, and by the way, we got this little identity theft thing over here, too, if you're interested. And so I wasn't writing a lot of identity theft sales, and then all of a sudden we recruited Brian Fahili, and Brian started writing memberships, and he was writing both plans. He was writing the legal and the identity theft plan. And a lot of it was just he didn't know any different. And I remember when he was doing that, I was like, how are you doing that? How are you signing people up for both? And he was just kind of like, I don't know, that's the way that I'm pitching it, the way that I'm presenting it. And it taught me an important lesson about not running away from change, embracing change, and those who do that early are the ones who benefit most. Okay, in closing here, I just wanted to share with you a little training, and I'm actually interested in your feedback, so I'm going to give you my email address. I'm going to share some thoughts, and then I'm going to give you my email address because I'd love to hear from you as far as your thoughts on this particular topic. But I was having a conversation last week, and I was talking about how little things can make such a big difference. And I was specifically talking about our business and how, you know, little things in our business, when I say that they can make a big difference, I mean, sometimes something that's really pretty small, something that we probably don't train on very much at all, and some things that we may never actually train on, or maybe not in the past have trained on, but yet sometimes they, you know, if they're not done correctly, those little things can add up and can sometimes cost someone a group. You know, you and I could be in a decision-maker meeting, and the way that we respond to a question or the way that we come across gives that decision-maker doubt that we're going to be able to represent these products well to their employees, and all of a sudden we lose the group. We can make little mistakes that are very costly. I mean, you know, think in terms of a group, you know, one mistake could cost you thousands of dollars or even sometimes tens of thousands of dollars. I remember I did a decision maker meeting years ago, and I won't go into all the details, but I made a mistake, and I focused on something that I probably should not have focused on. My mistake was I was not reading the decision maker very well. They were very clear in what they were interested in, and I chose to focus on more what I was interested in, and it ended up costing us the group. It's hard to make a judgment that one little thing cost a group, but I would think that was a part of it. It definitely did not help, and in reality, it may have cost us that account, which was probably in the tens of thousands of dollars as far as commissions go. So, again, little things can make a big difference. Well, I wanted to focus on three little things, and then again, I'd be interested in your feedback. What little things do you think make a big difference in our business? Let me share with you three that came to mind for me. The first is how responsive we are. And again, I don't know that we focus on this enough, but decision makers want to do business with responsive people. When a decision maker sends us an email, they don't want to reply back the next day or 2 days later. Now, I'm not saying that again, there may be times where that is the case, but those who are responsive, that really means a lot to a decision maker. When they email you and you email them back within a few minutes, it shows that you really care about their business. So be ready. Even if you don't have an answer, just a quick email saying, let me find an answer for you and I'll get back with you very soon. That etiquette, that professionalism really does mean a lot to decision makers. And by the way, if we can adopt that kind of philosophy for everyone that we deal with, how much better off will we be? And that includes the employees of the companies that we work with. If an employee calls you or emails you with a question or a concern, let us be as responsive as we would be to if that was the HR director or the owner of that company. Even other agents, other reps, other people that we work with, business partners, responsiveness is something that can be seen on a lot of different levels. And I think that also has to do with when someone does have an issue, when someone does have a problem, it's not just replying quickly, although that's important, but it's also seeing that problem through to the end. A quick follow-up, hey, did we get everything resolved? Even if you had to refer that to another department or somebody else, did we get that issue resolved? That kind of responsiveness really does mean a lot to people. Sometimes that's going to require you and I to make an uncomfortable phone call. Always be willing to be the one that makes an uncomfortable phone call. That might be to a member that's had a negative experience. That might be to the law firm to inquire on a member's behalf. But always be, that might be to a decision maker too, when they've had an issue with billing or something like that. You know, it's easy to call people when you think they're going to be happy. When you think they're not going to be happy, that may not be as easy, but always be the person who's willing to make an uncomfortable phone call. And listen, responsiveness also has to do with when we make a mistake. And every single one of us is going to do stuff that is going to say something or do something or mess up along the way that we regret, that we look back and wish that we hadn't. I mean, look, I've got 17 years of mistakes. One of the only people on this call that could outdo that is my brother because he's got 25 years of mistakes. I mean, that's life, folks. I mean, we're going to make mistakes. Well, when that happens, what does a responsive person do? They own that mistake. They own the mistake. They don't look for excuses. They don't look to pass blame. They own that mistake. That will mean so much to people. I remember, when I first started, I would make mistakes. Sometimes I would not process business as quickly as I should have. And I can somewhere in the background hear Brian Fahili laughing at that because he probably can point out specific instances to you, but once in a while I'd have an issue where a decision maker would email and say, hey, what's going on? And my natural tendency was to kind of pass the blame on to somebody else or to blame it on a processing issue or whatever. But I found that if I would just own that mistake, fess up, in other words, and just put it out there, hey, I'm the one that did that, and that's my fault, and I apologize, and then do everything I can to make it right, that decision makers that I worked with, people that I worked with, tended to appreciate that much more. And I like what Dale Carnegie says on that and How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says, when you make a mistake, apologize profusely. And the reason is because if we don't sincerely apologize, then what we do is we put that other party in a position where they feel like they need to focus on how big of a mistake it was. They need to help us understand that was really a problem. So what you do is you put them in a position where they're telling you how bad you were. Versus if we own it, if we apologize profusely, we put that other party in a position where they're defending us now. I want to get the other party in a case where I make a mistake, I want to get the other party to the point where they say, it's really not that big of a deal. And now all of a sudden they're defending us and standing up for us, and just, I mean, mentally think about the difference that can make for them. So again, be responsive. That goes from quickly replying to an email to owning a mistake and seeing problems, you know, through to the end, with issues that all of us are going to have at some point. If you haven't had issues with a member, you haven't sold very many memberships. I mean, because you're going to have some of that. That's life. I'm grateful that we're in a business where we don't deal with a ton of that, but we're all going to have some of that. And again, sometimes those are going to be our own making. What are we willing to do about it when it happens? That responsiveness is a little thing, but it can make a big difference. Here's my my second little thing that I think can make a big difference: our communication, the way that we professionally communicate. Things like with a decision maker of a company, for example, sometimes they're going to give you a card, and I see this more and more where cards will have their mobile number listed. Before I send a text to a decision maker, I like to ask their permission. I know that that's maybe a little bit old-fashioned, but I like to ask their permission before I text them. Is it okay if I send you a text? And that way, you know, I'm not being too forward, or I'm not stepping out of line. Most of the time, if they have their mobile on their card, they don't mind. But again, just that little move of asking their permission sets me on a different level than most people, and that's what these little things are really all about. I think that communication can also have to do, obviously, with the messages that we do send, whether it's an email or whether it's a text message. I'm one that I will always encourage our associates to reread every message before hitting send. We are in a very fast-paced environment. I know how it is. You've got 50 things on your list that you've got to do today, and this email that you're sending is not at the top of your list, but yet the habit of rereading every message, looking for spelling errors, looking for punctuation mistakes, I mean, this has gotten so important with how much we're doing on mobile now, where autocorrect can send something completely different than what we intended to send. But I just think that professionalism, I don't know, I see it. Like when someone replies to me and they don't have correct punctuation, like they don't end a sentence with a period, I know it's a little thing. I'm not saying that they're a terrible person, but those little things add up. And I question, do I really want to do business with that person? And so I know it makes a difference, and I know I'm not the only one. I know that there are decision makers out there that feel that way as well. So, again, reread every communication before you send it. I'm all about brevity. You that are listening to my training this morning may not feel that way, but in an email, a one- or two-line email is always better than a one- or two-paragraph email. And then, on communication, I would also say find reasons to communicate when you don't want something. It gets real old when the only time a group hears from you is when you want something. That gets real old real fast. So find reasons to communicate, whether that's just checking in, how are things going, whether that's, wishing them a happy birthday because you saw that on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, or a happy, work anniversary that you saw on LinkedIn. Find a reason to shoot an email over, a short professional thank you, a short professional congratulations, whatever that might be, but find reasons to communicate when you don't want something. And then my final kind of little thing that I think can make a big difference is to always make everything about the other person. You know, I remember when this was before I went full time, I was out in college, and I had started to market Legal Shield just on a part-time basis. And I had a job. I had another part-time job that I was working, just, paying me hourly. And I went to my boss, and he had heard about Legal Shield, and he had expressed interest in signing up. And so I went to him. I was 22 years old at the time, but I'm not making excuses, but that's an excuse. I went to him, and I said, hey, I know you mentioned that you wanted to sign up for Legal Shield. I really need the commission for that. So if I can, I'd like to get you signed up now. And he said, well, I'm still thinking about it. Why don't we touch base next week? I mean, he was kind in the way that he said no. But I went back to him the next week, and he sat me down and said, I want to share something with you. He said, last week, when you told me about the commission that you needed to make, it really turned me off, and it made me not want to sign up for this plan. And I thought, well, you know, here was my thinking. Hey, I'm just going to be transparent with this guy. He wanted to sign up anyway. He knew that the program was valuable. He knew that I was going to benefit from it. Why not just be transparent about it? But I learned an important lesson. When the focus is on me, the other person is never going to be as good as they could be, or never going to be right. It's always going to have a negative impact on that relationship. And so always make it about the other person. That when you're sitting in a decision-maker meeting and the decision-maker shares a story or shares, you know, talks about their family or, you know, is talking about a picture, the natural tendency is to talk about ourselves. The natural tendency is to take their story and then share a story about you. And every time that you feel like sharing something, if you'll learn to ask a question, you will master this trait. When I say ask a question, when they share a story, instead of, you know, you're going to have 15 stories that probably come to your mind, instead of sharing one of those, ask a question about the story that they just shared. When they're talking about their kids, instead of talking about your kids or grandkids, ask another question about their kids or grandkids. If every time we feel like sharing something, we learn to ask a question instead, we'll master this principle of always making it about the other person. And I can tell you, I've been doing this for 17 years, guys. I can count on one hand the number, and I wouldn't need all five fingers, but I can count on one hand the number of people that I've worked with that have mastered, and I've worked with hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, and I can count on one hand the people who have mastered this principle. I'm not saying that everyone is as bad as I was, you know, when I was 22 years old. And, you know, I'm not saying that most people go in talking about how much commission they need to make. Most people are not that blatant about it. But it's very few people who have mastered this principle. And yet it's something, it's one of those small things that can make such a big difference. That relationship that you build, you know, becoming the conversationalist, to steal a term from Dale Carnegie, that everyone wants to be with, that everyone looks forward to speaking to, that's a big thing. And it'll get you groups. I mean, these are little things that when I say they can make a big difference, you've got thousands of dollars in commission that are going to come to you by mastering some of these little things. And the reverse is, if we don't focus on some of these little things, we're missing out on thousands of dollars of commission, hundreds of memberships that could be written, because we create opportunities for ourselves. So, again, let me give you my email. It's mike@mikeriches.com. That's the best email to reach me on, mike@mikeriches.com. I'd love to hear from you. What little things do you think make a big difference in our business? That's my question for you. And Mark, with that, I know that I went over a little over time there. I really do appreciate the opportunity to talk about the convention. So looking forward to seeing everyone in Dallas this week. It's going to be such a phenomenal event. Hope to see you out and about, you know, in the main event, but certainly at our team breakout as well. And with that, I'll say God bless, and I'll turn the call back over to you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Fantastic job. Great information. Powerful way to start our week. And I just really appreciate all the tips you shared to take advantage of convention and maximize that, and then love that little segment on little things that make a big difference. You know, there are just a lot of little things that make a huge difference in our business. And come to Dallas and find out what many more of those little things are. I mean, every convention, this will be my, I don't know how many, because we used to do one a year, now we do two a year. I've never missed a convention. I've been to every one in 25 years, and it's just exciting, and I'm probably more excited about this event than any before. Remember, our success team call is tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time, same phone number that you dialed to access this call. That call really focuses on team building, leveraging your income, developing passive income and override income. Be sure to invite your guests to Dallas. They can attend the entire event for free. So again, check your list. Who do you know in Dallas? And invite them. We'd love to have them and meet them there. Look forward to seeing all of you in Dallas this weekend. God bless you. Have an incredible week. Safe travels to Dallas. And next Monday, this call, we're going to do a special recap of the Dallas event. So be sure to listen in on that. Have a great day, everyone.